We'll finish Acts today, obviously, and then tomorrow we'll start with the Romans. Acts 28. And they had been brought safely through, then we found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us extraordinary kindness, for because of the rain that had set in and because of the cold, they kindled a fire and received us all. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they began saying to one another, "Undoubtedly, this man is a murderer, and though he has been saved from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." However, he shook the creature off into the fire and suffered no harm. But they were expecting that he was about to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had waited a long time and had seen nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and began to say that he was a god. Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the leading man of the island named Publius, who welcomed us and entertained us courteously 3 days. And it came about that the father of Publius was lying in bed afflicted with recurrent fever and dysentery, and Paul went in to see him, and after he had prayed, he laid his hands on him and healed him. And after this had happened, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases were coming to him and getting cured. And they also honored us with many marks of respect. When they were setting sail, they supplied us with all we needed. And at the end of the 3 months, we set sail on an Alexandrian ship which had wintered at the island and which had the twin brothers for its figurehead. And when we had put at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days. And from there we sailed around and arrived at Regium. And a day later, a south wind sprang up. And on the second day, we came to Puteoli. And then we found some brethren and were invited to stay with them for 7 days, and thus we came to Rome. And the brethren who, when they had heard us, came from there as far as the market of Appius, the three inns, and met us. And when Paul saw them, he thanked them and took courage. And when he entered Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with a soldier who was guarding him. And it happened that after 3 days, he called together those who were the leading men of the Jews. And when they had come together, he began saying to them, "Brethren, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. And when they had examined me, they were willing to release me because there was no ground to for putting me to death. But when the Jews objected, I was forced to appeal to Caesar, not that I had any accusation against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I am requested to see you and to speak with you, for I am wearing this chain for the sake of the hope of Israel." And they said to him, "We have neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren come here and reported or spoken anything bad about you. But we desire to hear from you what is your views are, for concerning this sect it is known to us that is spoken against everywhere." And when they had set a day for him, they came to him in his lodging in large numbers, and he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and from the prophets from morning until evening. And some were being persuaded by the things spoken, but others would not believe. And when they did not agree with one another, they began leaving with Paul after Paul had spoken one parting word. "The Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah the prophet to your father, saying, 'Go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I shall heal them. Let it be known to you, therefore, that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will also listen.' And when he had spoken these words, the Jews departed, having a great dispute among themselves. And he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness unhindered." Amen. Amen. And so they, you know, we learned from last chapter that they all arrived safely, right? You know, the word of God was true, that not one of them will be harmed. So now they arrived in Malta, and they figured out this is the city that the island what they had found. And they're met with natives. The word natives that's used, that Paul uses here, the actual word is actually barbarians. You know, and so these were like wild people, you know, in essence. You know, they were not, you know, a civilized a nation. They were wild. And so they come, and again, right, it's the favor of God over Paul and over his, you know, even all the prisoners and the Roman soldiers that were there. They come into this island, and these barbarians meet them. And, you know, usually our picture of barbarians, and if you go to the Greek, that's the word that's used, is not to be a hospitable group of people. You know, they're the ones that, you know, that shrink people's heads, you know, and, you know, like all the movies that we've seen, you know, I'm sure you guys have seen Conan the Barbarian, you know, and so these guys are not the most welcoming, friendliest of people, but again, it's God's favor, you know, that's over Paul, because why? He needs to go to Rome, and he needs to testify about the gospel. And so we see that God works things through, and so Paul goes, and the first thing that happens, they're very nice. They lay a fire for him, and as the fire is laid out, a viper attaches to Paul's hand, bites him, you know, and Paul just shrugs it off, throws it in the fire, and that's it. And the people look, right, and pay attention to what they say. They look upon Paul, and they say, oh, okay, this guy must be a murderer. He may have survived the sea, but justice, right, is prevailing, and they're thinking he's going to drop dead. The word justice here in Greek, right, is not what we think. It's not justice in the sense that, you know, there's right and wrong, and so you go to court and you can get justice. Actually, the justice in the way that these guys in Malta are recognizing it is actually a personification of a goddess that they worship. You know, and so what they're attributing, right, this justice to, right, is this goddess that they worship. You know, which kind of lays a point for us, right, that I'll talk about here, and I'll talk about more when we get to the passage in Romans, right? You know, the Bible tells us, Ecclesiastes says that he has set eternity in our hearts. You know, so every single person on this planet, past, present, future, right, God has put a mechanism, DNA, because we are creating God's image, a DNA in us that longs for God. Right, he has set eternity in our hearts, something that's beyond ourselves, something that's beyond what we're living and experiencing right now here on this earth. He's laid that in our hearts. You'll find through every culture, right, known to man, you know, the Aztecs, the Mayans, you know, you can go to Indonesia and find a primitive culture, and every single culture known to man right now worships something. They worship something. They either worship the sun, the tree, you know, an insect, you know, whatever it is, or a person. They all, because God has set eternity in our hearts. You know, and so it's interesting that these guys, though they don't know God of the heavens and earth, right, they don't understand, they still have a deity figure in their culture. You know, and so Paul is now introduced to this group of people that have a deity figure. You know, and to them, it's this goddess who they call justice. You know, and they just believe that, you know, everything flows from this goddess and whatnot. And it took Paul, and you can see the just kind of the way that God moves, right? He detours them, right, to bring them to a place so the people that had never heard about God now begins to hear. You know, also lays aside, you know, in, if you remember Mark chapter 16, right, Jesus says after the resurrection, before he goes, you know, in his ascension, you know, he says, hey, you know, these signs shall follow those that believe. You'll cast out demons in my name. You know, you will, you know, grab a hold of serpents. You can drink poison and it will not harm you. You know, and you have an instance where, you know, like, I mean, we, like, Jesus, is that really true? You know, like, I mean, if I get bit by a serpent, you know, and I'm operating in your will, that I won't get hurt, right? It's true. It's true. You see it right here. You know, there's another thing that Jesus says, right? And if you remember in Luke chapter 10, you know, he says, you know, don't take any bags with you. You know, don't take any tunics. Just go, right? When you enter into the city, right, you know, you find the man of peace and you say, peace be to you. You know, and if he is a man of peace, then your peace will rest upon him. You know, and then, you know, don't go house to house. Just wherever you go, eat and drink what they give to you. You know, because the laborer is worthy of his wages, right? And then he tells them, and he says, and, you know, take care of their needs, heal the sick, right? You know, and then proclaim the kingdom of God has come near. What does Paul do? He finds the man of peace. His name's Publius. And Publius invites him to his house. He's a wealthy landowner, you know, and so the man of peace is there. What does Paul do, right? He sits, you know, 3 days, they eat and drink, you know, stays in one place, you know, again, receiving that favor and that hospitality. And then he heals the sick. You know, I mean, again, it just happens, right, that Publius' father is ill with recurrent fever and dysentery. You know, and so what does Paul do? Paul goes, prays for him, heals him, right, and says, hey, man, the kingdom of God has come near. And they receive so much favor from these people. You know, I think this is why Paul was so successful in his journeys. You know, he was very aware of Luke 10. You know, and understanding, right, that you go find the man of peace. You know, all those guys, Timothy, all these leaders of the church, right? These were the man of peace, you know, that the Lord sovereignly, you know, put aside to them. You know, when we do our when we're in our Beijing church plant, you know, right now they're planting. This is a strategy to find that man of peace, you know, or find that woman of peace, you know, the place where, you know, out of that person, relationships, all kinds of things will spring out from, you know, and it's such a valuable strategy. It's actually, if you look in the scriptures, it's the only evangelism strategy that you see in the scriptures, right, that Jesus lays out for us, you know, himself. You know, and so, and this is precisely what he does, right? He just follows, you know, the teachings of Christ, the words of the Lord, and incredible favor, incredible wisdom. I mean, the works of the Spirit are just displayed so powerfully, you know, in his life. And so they supply them with so much stuff, and now they enter into the next journey, and finally Paul gets to Rome. You know, but when he's in Rome, he finds, and look at verse 15. He says, "And the brethren, when they heard about us, came there as far as the market of Appius, the three inns, and met us. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage." You know, the market of Appius and the three inns, these were very famous places in the Roman Empire. And so he gets to Rome, and all these disciples, right? I mean, you can imagine, you know, where Paul went, you know, and people, you know, were businessmen, they were traveling, and so they were doing marketplace, and they would just go out all over the place. They would come, learn, discipled, and boom, they would go all over the place. And they finally get to Rome, and these guys hear about, oh, Paul's here, you know, our spiritual father, he's here. And they all run to this place, and the word there, right? Don't read that. He says that he, right, was, he thanked God and he took courage. You know, think about this for a moment, right? Paul was the man. I mean, this guy endured so much, done so much for the kingdom of God. You know, but yet even in his strength, right? I mean, you know how anointed you have to be, right? That your handkerchief, you know, this is what you blow your nose with, right? I mean, your handkerchief goes out and it heals people of all kinds of diseases. You know, I mean, that's just crazy. That's all anointed, but yet Paul also recognized the importance of fellowship. And he also recognized the importance that he's not in this thing by himself. You know, and so even Paul himself, you know, that, you know, no matter, he was incredibly strong, he was wise, educated. I mean, Paul was the man. You know, but he recognized, yeah, I also need other brothers and other sisters as well. You know, that this battle is not my battle, it's our battle. You know, and there's something, right? No one needs to be a Lone Ranger Christian. The Christian life was never meant to be lived by ourselves. And you know, you heard me do the spiel, right? You know, there's, I think a lot of times we confuse ourselves with the Christian faith and the Christian life. The Christian faith is you and God. You know the phrase, right? You cannot be grandparented in. You know, you need to make a personal decision with Jesus, right? And that's the Christian faith, right? That's you and God, right? The Christian life is lived in community. It's always lived in community. You know, later on the writer in Hebrews will tell us, do not forsake the gathering of the people of God, right? You know, do not dismiss, right, the meeting together of God's people. You know, and he took courage, he thanked God, and he took courage. When you read through Paul's epistles, you'll find that, hey, please, you know, tell John Mark to come. You know, please bring Timothy, you know, bring Silas, bring all these guys, and they are a comfort to me, you know, in the midst of what is going on. We need that too. You know what I mean? You know, we're not fighting this fight on our own, right? We're not in this battle by ourselves, you know, and I know some of you guys are Lone Ranger Christians. You know, this is the body of Christ, you know, coming together. And, you know, and Paul says, man, I need these people. You know, these guys come and, oh, he was so blessed, right? The word is he took courage. You know, and you think, Paul took courage? I mean, this guy's got the most courage than anyone I've ever seen in the whole of the New Testament outside of Jesus. You know, but Paul took courage from the fellowship that he received from these people. You know, friends, I want to encourage you, find people where you can get encouragement from. You know, find people, you know, brothers and sisters, and, you know, where you can receive something from the Lord, right? Where you can receive, you know, grace, and because we all need encouragement, right? We all need those times where we're not as strong as we're used to, you know, being or whatnot. And in those times, you just, you know, you draw strength from one another. You know, that's a natural order of our lives in the kingdom of God. You know, and Paul was very aware of that, man. He thanked God and he took courage. Wow, these guys are willing to come out, and man, what an incredible blessing, you know, that was. Right? You know, and I've experienced this in my own life, you know, and no matter how strong I may think, you know, I may think that I am, man, I need the body of Christ. You know, I need the prayers of you guys. You know, I need the prayers of my dad and, you know, my wife. You know, I need all these things, you know, to be effective in what God has called me to do. And you need that as well. You know, I remember, you know, particularly when my mom was sick, you know, and you guys know I spent a lot of time in Busan, you know, that year. You know, and we had, again and again, we had members of the church come out, you know, and it was a little thing, you know. I mean, probably to them it was a little thing, but to me it was huge. You know, it was huge. You know, coming out and just visiting us in the hospital and, you know, and just spending time and, you know, I mean, it was quite a few people, you know, that made their way out there. And it's for my wife and our family, I mean, it spoke volumes. You know, I mean, it just spoke volumes. You know, I mean, I remember Sean came and he actually did a magic show, you know, to the whole ward, right? It's all these, the whole cancer ward, you know, that's going on. And he came and did a show, and it was awesome. Right, you know, Mike showed up, you know, one time, Stanley showed up, there was a whole bunch of you guys, so encouraging, you know what I mean? I mean, it was so, you know, and it was the body at work, right? You know, the Ecclesiastes say, hey, you know, if a person is by themselves, how can they keep warm? You know, two is better than one, right? And then, you know, a strand of three is actually even better than that. And stuff, and so it's important for us to, you know, to not only receive but also accept and be open, right, for others coming in and being that blessing, you know, in our own lives. And so then Paul turns, and turns his attention on the Jews, and look what happens. A shift finally occurs in Paul. And I would say that it's appropriate that we finish the book of Acts, and now Paul has definitely finally transitioned. Remember, right, we talked about in the last few chapters that Paul would just seem ideally fit to minister to the Jews. And so everywhere he goes, he's always trying to minister to the Jews, and everywhere he goes, the Jews are rejecting him. And so finally, right, he gets to Isaiah and he says, hey, I'll tell you what, man, this is true. Well, this is what God's people say, right? You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. The heart of this people has become dull, and their ears, they scarcely hear. They have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and return, and I shall heal them. And then Paul, this is a statement. This is closure for Paul, finally, after all this time. Let it be known to you, therefore, that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they also will listen. He finally makes that shift, right? You know, that was Paul's calling, right? Paul's basically saying, all right, to the Jewish people, I'm going to leave that to Peter and James and the other apostles. I'm going to the Gentiles. And so what happens when he does that? Read the end of this chapter. He stays two full years in his own quarters, right? He welcomes all who came to him. He preached the kingdom of God, teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with openness. Look at that last word, unhindered. Unhindered, right? He finally shifted his focus to his calling, you know, and now, right, he experiences ministry that just flows. And you guys know that Paul wrote some of his most important epistles during these 2 years of his Roman imprisonment. That's what we call the prison epistles, you know. And so he spends the rest of his time, right, writing, sharing, teaching. Right, and fruitful ministry begins to flow out of Paul throughout this time. You know, it's when you're setting your calling. It's interesting. I mean, this is just a little something for you guys. It's interesting, you know, that Isaiah actually is the most often quoted prophet in the New Testament. you know, through the Gospels, through the epistles, is actually Isaiah, you know, which is you know, quite interesting, you know. And Isaiah, in his time, he didn't really attain to that kind of great status, you know, like Elijah or other prophets. But, you know, Isaiah, the key with him is he spoke truth, you know, and he talked a lot about judgment and you know, and things to come. And so he is the often most quoted, you know, I mean, he is the most quoted prophet in all the Old Testament, right? And he, because he really lays out the picture for Israel of what's going on and what will come. And we'll see that happening here. And so let's close our eyes today. There's a lot of things in this passage. And then we'll hit Romans. And Romans is the most significant theological work in all of the New Testament. The great truths of the Christian faith actually are embedded in the book of Romans that we'll get into starting tomorrow. But it's today. So let's talk about Acts. The Lord wants to encourage you today. And we're going to do a little something, maybe something a little different, right? But we're going to have Jisun sing a song to us and we'll worship together. If the Lord just begin to speak to you about the passage and kind of the key things that you're getting out of chapter 28. And then we'll come back together and pray. with this idea of the importance of fellowship, can I invite you to just grab someone around you, or, you know, and just pray for one another. Just look around and smile and good morning. Just pray for each other. Maybe share one prayer request, you know, quickly, and just encourage each other. Go ahead, I'll give you some time to do that now. Just encourage one another. Invite you to pray. If you're still praying, please continue on. But invite you to pray over our church members. One, very particularly, I got a note from Charles Han, and his dad is they're taking the tubes out, and it's basically not looking very good. And the doctors expect that he'll probably leave this week. And so I told Charles that. Yeah, we're going to make one push, one last push, you know, and the family is prepared. They're at peace with everything, you know, the dad as well as the brothers and everyone, they're at peace with, you know, letting their dad go. But let's make one last push, and let's really seek God on behalf of Charles and his whole family, and you know, let's pray God does something, right? right? And we're at peace as well, right? Because we know that He goes to a much better place. And, but let's make one last push as a church that we just really lift Him up. And in that same way, I'll just read through the list again. Let's pray for Hyja's uncle, who's a pastor in Korea. He's got lung cancer. Pray for Chris's aunt, who also has cancer. Alex's dad with stomach cancer. Let's pray for Matthew Doble's aunt with breast cancer. Janine, as she finishes her chemo. Pray for my aunt with pancreatic cancer. Janella's grandma with a gallbladder issue. Kian's mom with cancer. Alan Lunsford, who had a stroke. Misun's dad, who had a tumor removed successfully. Pray for Charles Kim's niece, who has a tumor. She's a 2.5-year-old. Pray for Bonnie's grandfather for his cancer and also salvation. Rachel's uncle, who has lung cancer, and also great aunt. Pray for their salvation as well. Pray for Vivian's grandfather, who's got Alzheimer's. Pray for Jin's mom, who's got ovarian cancer, and an aunt who has breast cancer. Pray for Chris Lee's aunt, who has cancer as well, and Connie's aunt, breast cancer. Pray for the Wagners through their health issues. Let's also lift up our friends that are still looking for work and finalizing contracts and whatnot. Mark Starr and Sujin, John Kang, Juhee, Katharina, and Vivian. Let's just lift up our body and, you know, and really go before the Lord. I want to encourage you to just throughout this day, throughout this time, really lift up Charles's dad as well. Let's pray together. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Cambodia. Let's lift up Pastor O. Pray for New Life Church, Pastor Tang. Pray the church would continue to grow. Pray for the Center of Peace Orphanage, that the kids there and the leaders would just fall deeper and deeper in love with God, and they would, all their needs would be provided. Let's pray for Grace Chung and Bloom, and let's pray for God's hand. Grace asked us to pray for her boss, who's got an ear condition, is back in Australia. Let's pray that God would heal her, because if God doesn't heal her, she's not going to be able to go back to Cambodia for a long time as her eardrum popped. And so let's pray for just the hand of the Lord to be upon them. Let's lift up Cambodia and our people there. Let's pray for the Febe ministry, our Indonesian ministry. Pray for Pastor Selamat and the leaders, and pray that they would just continue to draw closer and closer to God, and God would use this ministry powerfully. Pray for the Korean church as well, Hong Kong Korean church. Ask God's hand to be with them and just a real grace. They're in a tough season right now. Pray that they would overcome as the church really draws near together. Let's lift up. Church ministries. Let's lift up our IP team. Pray for Matt and our intercessors. Pray that they would just operate out of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. They would pray God's purposes. Let's pray for Cascade. Lift up Leanne as she leads, and all the counselors, that they would really, as a little break time right now, they would really receive rest and just continue to receive downloads from God as they lead and help other people. Pray for the well. Pray for Larry. Ask the Lord to really bless this ministry, and that we see a lot of healings, right? A lot of God's people being touched by His Spirit, you know, through these ministries. Let's just continue to lift up. Let's pray for Juhi Park. Let's pray for guidance and wisdom and favor in her finding a job. Let's pray for full healing of her eczema, greater intimacy and prayer with God, and protection over her brother who's in the army in Korea. And let's just lift up Juhi. Let's pray for Alice, young Alice. Let's pray for more disciplined, quiet time and prayer life, and pray that she'd receive the gift of tongues and the filling of the Spirit. Pray for guidance for her in terms of her future study and her parents and all that stuff. And let's just lift her up. Thank you. Let's pray for Elaine. Let's pray for her job. She's back in Canada. The Lord is going to provide for her. Pray for Tim, her fiance's salvation. You know, even though he's making progress, he's still not in that place yet. So let's just really lift him up before the Lord. Father, we bless you this morning, God. Lord, we thank you for just the encouragement of the body, God. We thank you for the strength, God, that we can walk in, Lord, when we draw near together in you. And so continue to watch over us, God. I pray that you would just continue to encourage us, Lord, Lord, by your Spirit, but also by brothers and sisters, Father God, all over this place. And so use us, God, to be a blessing to others, Lord. We thank you. We love you, God. Watch over us the rest of this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great, great prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.